Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
We are reading this evening from the 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, verse number 51. Arjuna uvacha, drishtvedam, manushaṁ, surupam, drishtvedam, manushvacha. Arjuna said, drishtva, seeing, idam, this, manushaṁ, human, rupam, form, Tava, your, Samyam, very beautiful, Janadana, O chastiser of the enemies, Idanim, now, Asmi, I am, Samvritaha, settled, Sachetaha, in my consciousness, Prakritin, to my own nature, Gataha, returned. Translation. When Arjuna thus saw Krishna in his original form, he said, O Janardana, seeing this human-like form so very beautiful, I am now composed in my mind and I am restored to my original nature. Purport. Here the words Manusham Rupam clearly indicate the Supreme Personality of Godhead to be originally two-handed. Those who deride Krishna as if he were an ordinary person are shown here to be ignorant of his divine nature. If Krishna is like an ordinary human being, then how is it possible for him to show the universal form and again to show the four-handed Narayan form. So it is very clearly stated in Bhagavad Gita that one who thinks that Krishna is an ordinary person and who misguides the reader by claiming that it is the impersonal Brahman within Krishna speaking is doing the greatest injustice. Krishna has actually shown his universal form and his four-handed Vishnu form. So how can he be an ordinary human being? A pure devotee is not confused by misguiding commentaries on Bhagavad Gita because he knows what is what. The original verses of Bhagavad Gita are as clear as the sun. They do not require lamplight from foolish commentators. Namaham Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pistaya Bhutale Srimata Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitya Namine Namaste Sarasate Devam Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Bhaskatya Chishatarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Shadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Bhaktavinoda, kannst du bitte dies Chaitanya Charitamrita in einen Band bringt. Das ist so ein dickes Werk. So, Hare Krishna, Arjuna Uvacha, Drishvedam Manusham Rupam Tava Somyam Janadana Idanim Asmi Sangvrita Sa Chita Prakritim Gataha. When Arjuna thus saw Krishna in his original form, he said, O Janadana, seeing this human-like form so very beautiful, I am now composed in mind and I am restored to my original nature. Then Krishna showed his original form to Arjuna. Arjuna's state of bewilderment and fear was immediately alleviated. This original form of Krishna, we can understand from this, must be so beautiful and so wonderful that when one simply sees it, one gets or one becomes completely satisfied. In the spiritual world, the living entity desires to see Krishna completely, constantly. It is described that the devotees in Vrindavan, in Goloka Vrindavan, they take every opportunity to glance and look at the beautiful form of the Lord. And even when the form of the Lord is not present, because Krishna might be away from the village of Vrindavan herding cows in the forest, because the devotees in Goloka Vrindavan are so much absorbed in the thought of Krishna, they are together with Krishna in a wonderful form which is called his aprakat form. Krishna has two kinds of forms with whom he associates with the devotees. One is the form which he reveals to the devotees when he becomes present before them. But another form which the devotee associates in Krishna's so-called absence, that is his avatar form. And the Lord appears in this avatar or unmanifested form, as it is said. So someone who is engaged in the process of chanting his transcendental glories. In this way, the devotee never feels separation from Krishna. Either he is together with Krishna in his prakat form, or he is together with Krishna in his aprakat form. Now, there is an interesting subject matter which comes up, so I would like to bring to your attention. It's a very interesting subject matter. I read today and thought of speaking a little bit about this. When a devotee develops a certain kind of attraction to Krishna, that attraction stays with him continuously, because that form of the Lord absorbs all his attention and all his feelings. You will be interested to hear that Srila Rupa Goswami and Srila Sanatana Goswami had a brother who was called Vallabha, and this Vallabha later was given the name Anupama. Now, he was always very attached from his childhood to Lord Ramachandra, and it is said that this Anupama always worshipped Lord Ramachandra with great attention and affection, even when he was a little child. So his brothers Rupa and Sanatana Goswami were of course great devotees of Lord Krishna or of Radha Krishna, and they constantly tried to convince him that he should also begin worshipping Radha Krishna. They said, Lord Krishna is supremely attractive. His beauty, sweetness and pastimes of love are without limit. Engage yourself in devotional service to Krishna with both of us. They said, let's form a party, so to say. The three of us brothers shall stay together and enjoy discussing the pastimes of Lord Krishna. In this way, we both spoke to him again and again, and because of this persuasion, it means I was talking to him, and his respect for us, his mind turned somewhat towards our instructions. So he said, my dear brothers, how can I disobey your order? Initiate me into the Krishna mantra so that I may perform devotional service to Lord Krishna. Now, they gave him the Krishna mantra, but the whole night Anupama was unable to sleep. He was thinking, how can I give up the worship of my Lord Raghunath or Ramachandra? He said, I have sold my head at the lotus feet of Lord Ramachandra. I cannot take it away. That would be too painful for me. He came and he said, both of you, please be merciful to me and honor me in such a way so that life after life I may serve the lotus feet of Lord Ramachandra. So when Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami heard this, they of course became very merciful and very kind towards their brother, and they said, you are a great saintly devotee, for your determination and devotional service is fixed. In this way, we both praised him. Mm. So Lord Chaitanya, when he heard about this, he actually said a very nice thing. Glorious is that devotee who does not give up the shelter of his Lord, and glorious is that Lord who does not abandon his servant. The nature of attachment is so that even if there is a source of difficulty, the attachment remains strong. Like here, our Anukma, he was sincerely worked upon, preached upon by the two generals of Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement, Rupa and Sanatan, the greatest devotees. They really gave him a hard time. Come on, worship Radha Krishna, they are more attractive than Lord Ramachandra. And he also tried to do it, but his attachment was so fixed to the lotus feet of Lord Raghunath, of Lord Ramachandra, that in fact he just couldn't do it. And he said, you please bless me that this attachment remains strong. So in a similar way, we, as the devotees of Lord Krishna, we pray that our attachment becomes very, very strong to Krishna. No matter what happens to us, we simply pray that we constantly remain in Krishna consciousness. Oh Lord, do not let me fall down from the remembrance of you. In the Vishnu Purana, it is stated that the greatest loss, in fact, is any minute which is spent in forgetting Krishna. That is a state of Krishna consciousness one comes to by strong attachment. Now, at this present moment, this kind of attachment seems to be very far away from us, to say it in polite words. This is so because we have been covered. Our original spiritual nature is at present not manifested. It is there, but it is covered and therefore cannot be seen very clearly. Srila Prabhupada used to give the example of a magnet. A magnet is naturally attracted to iron. It happens completely natural. But if it is covered by a rusty substance, this attraction is no longer manifested so nicely. Only when the rust is uncovered, the attractive force of the magnet will come and manifest itself again. So our particular problem in this material world is a covering of illusion, which is very strongly casting dark shadows in our consciousness. Srimati Kunti Devi discusses this covering of illusion by saying, Maya Yavani Katshanam, O Lord, you are covered by a curtain of illusion, and that's why we cannot recognize you any longer. Now, this covering of illusion, which has, so to say, moved between us and Krishna, this covering of illusion is very nicely described in a book which I want to read to you this evening. It's the Tattva Sandarbha. It's a philosophical work by Srila Jiva Goswami. He writes that the individual living entities are subject to the influence of the illusory energy Maya is described in this verse of Srimad Bhagavatam and also in Bhagavad Gita, where Lord Krishna says, embodied beings, however, are bewildered because of the ignorance that covers their real knowledge. If the individual living entity can become free from the illusions presented by the Maya potency, he can become liberated. Although the individual living entities may be either influenced by or free from the illusory energy, Maya, the Supreme Personality of Godhead remains eternally untouched by Maya. So, this in simple words means we can be covered or uncovered, but Krishna is always liberated from the influence of Maya. Now, this influence of illusion immediately attacks us when we become against the personality of Godhead, when we become averse. Maya immediately comes and causes us to identify with the desires of our material body. This is how Maya works. She, so to say, gives us the wrong kind of desires in the heart, which we have because we are no longer clear about our spiritual identity. In this way, we try to become happy without service of Krishna. This is discussed in the fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Once this desire to become happy without Krishna covers our mind and intelligence, it actually branches off into many, many, many sub-desires. I do not know if you have ever seen the nerves, a picture of nerves, or even in a more simple picture of the arterioles and veins in the body. They always, you know, split up and become more and more. So, from this one desire to enjoy Krishna in a similar way, but much, much more intense, many other desires come. When we ask ourselves, how did this desire come about to drive a good car, or to dress nicely, or to make a long and fascinating journey somewhere, or swim in the ocean, or have a sexual relationship with another body. It all has its origin, actually, in the desire to enjoy separately from Krishna. Now, if somehow we can go back to this original desire to just please Krishna, we will be free from the little desire here, there, and everywhere, and will be saved. But someone who does not manage to desire to serve Krishna, he will actually be lost in these many-branched kind of desires. It is actually described in the Bhagavad Gita that those who are on the path of Krishna consciousness have one goal only, because they have one desire only. But those who are not on the path of Krishna consciousness, they must have many, 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 many goals and many desires to fulfill in this world. So the process of Krishna consciousness actually means to project our desire on Krishna, take it away from the many, many forms of desires who dance in so many different disguises before our eyes, but become single-mindedly, single-eyed, as Prabhupada once said. That means we look in one direction. Now, of course, this requires freedom of Maya and attachment to Krishna. Maya will test us as long as we do not cultivate our attachment for Krishna. She sometimes takes care that no nonsense comes to Krishna and bothers him. I once heard a nice example which I would like to give as a good as an explanation of this point. It was about a rich man who lives in an opulent villa, maybe with 50 rooms or so. And it is obvious, because he has lots of things to do and he enjoys on a certain level, he doesn't want everyone to come and disturb him. So he posts one servant at the entrance door, and the duty of this servant is to simply see who is allowed to enter and who is not allowed to enter. Now imagine someone comes who is all dirty, who has bad habits, who is a thief, the worst of all thieves. He steals books from brahmanas. So that servant posted on the door will not allow him to come and enter. He will just say goodbye, go away, and sometimes he might even use force. He might take him, you know, on the back and just throw him in the next lake. So this is what happens to those who are not actually full of love for Krishna. They can't really enter the remembrance of Krishna. They can't really approach Krishna. This is what I wanted to say. They will always be separated from Krishna by the curtain of Maya, which manifests in a kind of punishment. The punishment is that they have many desires. Isn't it a punishment? Let us just make a fictitious story. What is your name? Raghupati. Yes. Raghupati. Now, Raghupati lives a blissful life in Krishna consciousness. He is an ecstatic devotee from Zagreb, I believe. And so on and so forth. He desires to serve Krishna, and his life therefore is very uncomplicated. He lives in a temple. Actually, I don't want to use Raghupati as an example. Let us call him Krishnadas, you know, our devotee. He lives in the temple. He has a taste for Mangal Arati, lectures, service, and prasaram, and the association of devotees. So he's in a very nice situation. Now imagine someone would come and, you know, give this Krishnadas an order. Now you go to America, you work like a dog, or like a, you work very intensely, at a photographic concern, where you have to develop all kinds of pictures, you know, being bent over chemical baths. You know, when you develop pictures, you are bent over chemical baths. And you just work to get a very fast driving Cadillac. That's a car for those who don't know. And a house in Los Angeles, which is a city completely polluted with bad smell. In Los Angeles, there's constantly pressure on the town. And I heard there's so little water and so little rain that rich people now have made their lawn, the grass, from plastic, because no grass grows any longer there. Now imagine this Krishnadas would be cursed to have this kind of desire. it would be terrible, isn't it? We would think, oh, how cruel, you know, to make this happy devotee into a slave of a desire. Now, do you notice? So let us imagine further on that he really has this desire. We need to do an operation for him. You know, we need to open his skull, click, and so two nerves together, you know, that it always goes, I must go to Los Angeles. I must become a member of the photographic concern. I must, you know, work in a lawn. You know, I must work at to get a house and so on. How cruel to do this. There are films about this. I think Mr. Marcuse or Mabuse, Dr. Mabuse, he was a satiric doctor who just performed these crazy operations. In literature, there are examples of this. We would think, how cruel to make this, to make a slave out of our nice Krishna Das who lives in the temple, lives a simple but fulfilled life in Krishna consciousness. So this is exactly what Maya does with us. She somehow did something to us, so that now, instead of desiring to serve Krishna and surrendering to Krishna, we have so many plans, so many ideas, so many things in our minds. We want to live together with a woman or a man and work, like to get an apartment and anyways, you know better than me. This is what the Maya does to us. Not only, in other words, does she throw us out from the house that we can't see Krishna, but she covers our real desires in such a way that we take wrong desires as one at all. It is described in the scriptures that Maya's covering works in five forms. One is that we become totally identified with our material body and therefore think we are this lump of flesh. Another is that that our value system, so to say, becomes changed. Yesterday, this morning, Srila Harikesh Maharaj gave an example of the hawk in Vrindavan who becomes greedy after stool, hot stool. So we often like to laugh about this because as devotees we have developed a certain sense of humor which is not easily to be understood. Many people think, how can we laugh about such gross things? But somehow I think because we have developed such a fine taste when we hear about very extreme examples, somehow we become very moved, you know. The Kami doesn't think twice about it, but because of our refined taste, we think it's really heavy. I mean, so I once met a friend of Lord Krishna in Vrindavan. It will become now very drastic for those of you who have weak stomachs and come back in 5 minutes. So I once met this, what's his name? Actually, maybe I should say the name. Maybe it's good that I don't know it. Anyways, for my sake, I want to remember this name. I mean, he came often to the temple, Sunday feast here. And when I met him, he had taken on the activities of the pigs. Something happened to him. I think he was very offensive. Yeah, that's what I heard. He was very offensive towards devotees, and he behaved just like a pig. You saw him almost naked, going into the garbage and finding in the garbage the most abominable things which he would put into his mouth. He would smear himself all over the stool and ran around like a madman. It was extremely shocking to my taste of culture and so on. I was extremely shocked. Now, what has happened to him? His value system was degraded, to put it in simple terms. He thought the garbage was wonderful and rejected the healthy fruits and grains and so on and so forth. I remember people tried to help him by giving him a good meal, but because something had become strange in him, he was what we call mentally deranged. So this is what happens to the soul, which begins to identify with the body on a different level though, but principally in saying, he thinks the enjoyment of the senses is the real happiness of life. Now, as we know, sense enjoyment is a very relative term. What is enjoyable to one is completely detestable to the other. Or, as it is said, one man's food is another man's poison. Sense gratification is not of an absolute status, but it is changing from different species. It is changing. So in a similar way, just like I gave the example of the friend who due to her offenses became mentally deranged, when the soul enters this world, he becomes attracted to insignificant forms of enjoyment, which when looked upon from a purely spiritual level do not make any sense. It is more or less rubbing nerves on each other, or supplying some tickling in the nerve system. If you look on sense gratification in a biological way, it is a completely mechanic process. The senses are agitated in some ways, and this agitation is interpreted according to the life form you are in and the body you are in as some kind of pleasure. Even in the human form of life, there are people who think it's pleasurable to run around a green field. I was talking to Bhakta Uwe, who was enlightening me about the pleasures of running around a green field. It is not so easy. It requires lots of energy, but people become highly fascinated by this activity. You know, or someone enjoys a complete artificial display of the voice. Just a short while ago, when I was preaching in the DDR, I heard the Zauberflöte from Mozart. I think it's called the Witch Flute or whatever. And it went like, and I was just becoming very shocked. Someone was looking at me and saying, "Sashinanda Swami, what's wrong with you?" I said, nothing. I was so shocked because there was a time in my life where I used to like this. Where I thought, well, wonderful, that's a good training of the voice, interesting sounds and nice melodies and so on. And the point, I think, which we want to make here is clear. Sense enjoyment is of a very relative nature, and when Maya covers you, what happens to you is that you think, but my senses enjoy. That is pleasure. And Maya can really make a fool out of you. She can really make drastic forms of enjoyment. And I do not want to entertain my audience with extremes any longer. I feel the point is clear. So the first covering of Maya results in identifying with the body, and then the subsequent covering is that you think sense gratification becomes the standard of your happiness and enjoyment. And it goes on. There's fear of the death of the body. I mean, just these days I'm extremely thoughtful because, again, the idea of thought, is, of death, is very close to, has become in, very close since a friend of ours just was killed in an accident, car accident. So I'm thinking of myself, how much are you unafraid of death? It could happen to us any moment because we are driving like anything. We are constantly on the road. And it's just a question which I'm thinking deeply about. Maya is actually making an attachment to this life and to these activities, and we become convinced that with the death of this body everything is finished. Yes? And we become very greedy for our achievements. We become very interested in reaching our goals, and so on and so forth. So, the goal of Krishna consciousness actually is not so much to become free of Maya. You might have thought this up to now. The goal of Krishna consciousness is to become again attached to Krishna by making a serious endeavor become attracted to him. And if you just consider the process of Krishna consciousness, you will become very convinced how nicely our life has been made so that we can come back to the original desire, which Maya has taken into many, many, many forms of desires, which she has deluded. Just the other day, I was talking with a professor who happens to be a very good friend of ours, and I gave him a little Charanamrita, bathing water of Krishna, of the deities. And I said, you want to drink some bathing water of a divine beauty? He thought, what's wrong with you, Sashidana Swami? No, it's not like that. The deities, the divine beauty of Gaunitaya. And he thought, oh yes, I would drink the bathing water of God, but not of someone else. And then, because this professor happens to be an expert in French history, he told me how in former days, anyways, it's such a disgusting subject. Anyways, people used to drink each other's bathing water when they fell into some illusion of physical attraction. So, in Krishna consciousness, we actually cement or we develop our attraction to Krishna in a very personal way. Just consider what we eat. We eat the remnants of Krishna because of the failure of Krishna. Isn't that a very intimate form of associating with someone? We drink Krishna's bathing water. We hear about Krishna's activities. If you want to test your advancement, how much you have crossed the borders of Maya, then just see how much you like to hear about Krishna, how you actually become greedy to know more and more and more about him. There is a statement regarding Rupa Goswami. Rupa Goswami sometimes was describing the separation of Radha from Krishna. when Radha felt separated from Krishna, she became so attached to him that her breathing was very, very hot. So as Srila Rupa Goswami was describing Radharani, how she was desiring to be together with Krishna, how she was counting the moments and thinking it's just years, every moment is passes like a year, he started to breathe very, very intensely, and his breath fell on the arm of one devotee. So the devotee's arm went like this because Rupa Goswami's breathing had become so hot, hot like fire. Therefore, he just took it away. So this is some, it shows you attachment to the pastimes of Krishna, Radha and Krishna, that you relive it, you live in that. That's what we ultimately want to do. We want to hear so much about Krishna that we cannot hear anything, that we cannot think anything else than Krishna. This is a Vaishnava practice. We want to always chant his holy name, always remember his pastimes. So you can just see by our process we do. Another thing is service, of course, and we become very exclusive in what kind of association we want to have. We prefer to just be together with Vaishnava Sangha, with Vaishnavas, and not only any Vaishnava, any Vaishnava we like, but especially we want to be together with the pure devotees. We just want to somehow be connected to them. So from here, from these simple proofs, I could go on, of course, in a whole evening to tell you how we want to develop the attachments for Krishna. Rupa Goswami describes 64 practices, standing before the deity, following the deity when he goes on a procession, smelling the flowers of the deity. Some devotees, they sew the cloth which the deity has worn on their body. See, in any Vaishnava process, it seems the essence is to remember Krishna and to never forget him. This is how we master the influence of Maya. We come back or trace back our steps, our unholy steps in the land, into the land of the forlorn. We trace them back to remembering Krishna and never forgetting Krishna. So, Hare Krishna. Our Vishwadev Prabhu has come too late. Just to finish our discussion, I'm very sorry. Do you have any questions for this? Yes, what is your name?
Michael, Shoes.
Michael?
I'm always called Shoes.
Shoes?
Yeah.
What is your question, please?
You're talking about pleasure, about pleasure of our senses.
Yes.
It's Maya's work.
Yes.
But when I hear about Krishna, I'm pleasured, and it's by my senses, by my ears.
Mm-hmm.
And how can I...
How is that different,
yeah,
so to say, from my aspect? This is a very nice question, Michael, which you have asked. See, some yogis actually do not... They stop engaging their senses when they come to a process of spiritual life. They do not want to hear anything, they do not want to see anything, they do not want to speak anything, because they understand that their senses are pathways, or ways, which lead them towards material entanglement, towards material activity. They don't want that any longer. Therefore they go in seclusion, in parts of the Himalayan mountains where absolutely no one comes, and they practice great austerities. They don't at a mature stage, they do not eat anything any longer. They just, by some mystical process, absorb the prana energy from the air, and in this way gather enough energy to maintain their life force within the body. But when you come to Krishna consciousness, the first thing you get is a nice sweet, isn't it? And you dance and you sweat with beautiful melodies. You see a wonderfully decorated altar and nice pictures which are colorful like anything. Why is this so? The explanation is simply that the information which travels through your senses in Krishna consciousness is of an entirely different quality than the information and sensation which travels through your senses when you are engaged in material life. We see, but only things connected to Krishna, up to the extent that we do not look at any mundane movies or newspaper magazines or art books and so on. We hear but only songs of Krishna, and this way all the senses are engaged with Krishna, and the effect is that the desire gets purified. This is described in the beginning of the Rasa Leela. The Rasa Leela describes how Krishna enjoys loving pastimes with his dearmost devotees, the gopis. And the question is put, how is it that the greatest of renunciants, which is Shukadev Goswami and later also Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, enjoyed hearing this? It seems to be like an ordinary affair going on between men and women of this world. And the answer is giving, no. By hearing about Krishna's activities, which are not of this world, but completely transcendental, the desire which was fixed towards lusty thoughts and lusty activities is purified in such a way that you desire Krishna. This is how you can, what you can observe when you are together with the devotees. You are now since a few days our guest, and maybe you have not seen so many devotees, but one thing when you stay longer with devotees is you understand these people are just desiring things in connection to Krishna. In other words, the process works. They become free of material desires, and their original desire to serve Krishna becomes manifested. There is a movement in this, there used to be a movement which said, engage yourself in sensual activities, then one day you will lose the taste. But it never happened up to now. So in Krishna consciousness, you see these transcendent, these activities which we do, ultimately what happens is they awaken our spiritual senses through which we can perceive Krishna ultimately at a higher stage of Krishna consciousness. So I want to answer your question by saying, pilgrim, you have reached the end of a long road. If you would have tried to stop material life by stopping material activities, you would be a depressed fool by now, because it's not possible to really become satisfied in your mind by stopping to do anything. If you want to make an experiment, we can lock you up in one room. We don't do that, I mean, just in theory, yes? We can lock you up in a room, you know, leave you all alone. After one day or so, we will hear loud noises out of the room from a certain person from Prague. So this, process is not recommended. That was a very nice question, Michael. So please always engage yourself in the ocean of spiritual sense activities. In fact, if you learn to replace those things which you like to do in material world with Krishna conscious activities performed by your senses, you will very soon develop a strong distaste for materialistic activities and a strong taste for Krishna conscious activities. You will make this experiment. Yeah, it works. I personally thought I would never be able to become a devotee because of my attachment to mundane music. My head was just filled with different melodies. I was walking and I was just and I thought it's not possible. And sometimes when I was as a young bhakta, when I was in the bathing room, I locked the bathing room and I sang for 1 hour. I had to do it loud, my favorite melodies. And the devotees just went like, what will come out of this poor boy? Completely attached to it. So then I remember one friend who also joined at that time, he said, who was also in the same situation, we both had done music together, he told me a tip. He said, why don't you learn different Hare Krishna melodies and just sing them? I said, I don't know so many Hare Krishna melodies. Who can teach me? Everyone thinks I'm a hopeless case. And then the devotee said, no, when you sing, any melody will do. Then I went, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Everybody thought about this. At least a little advancement he has made now. And the devotees became very kind towards me, understood I was struggling for my eternal spiritual life. So it works, you know. Now I know many Hare Krishna melodies. Now the problem is over. Dimitri.
Krishna's head is in this material world, you know, and how to eliminate like Paramatma, and then take cares about you, like, you know, in the Maya, but especially they care about you when you, you know, become interesting for him, you know. But when you think of some other Krishna's form, you know, like Krishna's covered boy, you know, then who take care about you? Personally, Krishna from Loka Vrindavan, or also Krishna in form of Paramatma?
If you think about Krishna in his personal form, now this is discussed as a little, I do not know if it is too high for you, but anyways I will give the answer. It is discussed in the Brahma Sanhita by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Srila Jiva Goswami. In that verse it is said, Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena Santha Sadheva Hridayeshu Vilokayanti. Young Shama Shundaram, it is said, the devotees whose eyes is smeared with love will see in his heart not the Paramatma but Shama Shunda. It means Krishna in his original two-armed form. And why is this so? Krishna appears within the heart of the devotee the form Krishna, the devotee meditates about him. There's a nice lila in this collection regarding Hanuman, who was a devotee of Lord Ramachandra. You know, after the war for Sita, Lord Ramachandra went back to his capital city of Ayodhya and rewarded all the devotees who had helped him. Now, in the end, Sita gave a pearl necklace, wonderful pearl necklace, which had the light of many millions of suns. She gave it to Hanuman. And Hanuman, because he is a monkey, Is that a problem? Let me see. He, you know, ate, he chewed on the pearls and destroyed them because he had a very strong teeth. No question of any diseases in the teeth. Then everyone was very shocked. What is he doing? He's destroying the pearl necklace of Mother Sita, the mother of the universe. This is a simple cookie. So then Ramachandra said, my dear Hanuman, please explain yourself to these people who doubt your devotion to Ramachandra, to me and Mother Sita. And at that time, Hanuman just opened his chest and allowed everyone to look into his heart. And there they saw what was in Hanuman's heart. It was not some fruits or some monkey activities, but they saw the whole hall, the throne, top of the throne, seated wonderfully, Lord Ram and Mother Sita. And next to the throne, there was again the form of Hanuman. That form again opened his chest and gave a vision into the interior of his heart, where everyone could again only see Lord Rama. And there was another Hanuman. He opened his chest and on it went. So that everyone could see he was not offending Sita and Rama by disgracing or destroying the valuable gift, but in the opposite way, he was full of Ram Bhakti, devotion to the Lord. So the Lord appears to you the way you meditate about him, but let us be practical. We are now, this is Hanuman, and this is explained in the Shastra Premanjana, that how the Lord appears in those whose eyes are smeared with love. But we certainly have to develop that love. I think you don't think that you are a Gopal worshipper. Yes, that is a very welcome question. We have to be very honest with us, and I think that's not your problem. It's a very nice question, thank you. It is the Lord comes, becomes present in the heart of the devotee according to the bhava, the emotion. Bhava bandhana it's called in Sanskrit, the bondage of love that the devotee feels. Would be nice to come to the stage, isn't it? Yes? What is your name?
Jean. What is the difference between Krishna in Paramatma form and Shyama Sundar?
What is the difference? This example can make you understand a kind of difference. When the city opens a market for, let us say, a week or so, they depute an officer who becomes the ruler over this market. Everything what happens on the market has to be goes over him or through him. And you rent, want to rent a booth on the market, or things which are connected to the prices on the market. It goes over him, he's the inspector. But he's only doing that for the time or the duration of the market hours. Or let us say market. When the market is again put together and something else is done in the area where it used to be, that used to be, then the officer is no longer necessary. So, in a similar way, Paramatma is accompanying the soul in the material world during its different activities and during its wanderings through different life forms. However, when the soul leaves the material world, Paramatma is not accompanying the soul. Then the soul is together with Krishna in the eternal spiritual world. There is no Paramatma. It's only there for the temporary affair of regulating the different activities in this world. For instance, it is described Maya Yakshena Prakriti, that Prakriti means material nature is working under my aksha, my aufsicht, my guidance is the English word. That is the super soul who is taking care that the laws of material nature are taken care of. But he is only there for in the material world. So, in another sense, however, there is no difference. Krishna is speaking to Arjuna and he makes that point very clear. He says, I am situated in the heart of all living entity. He says, me, it's me, Krishna. Here. And he speaks as Krishna. See, this is our Western mind. We always... we can only imagine one thing. Oh, the Paramatma means it has nothing to do with Krishna. It's like, why? It has four arms and so on. Nothing. It's completely different than the Lord. It's also Krishna acting in a different way. Krishna is an undifferentiated entity. Do you understand this word? Really? Undifferentiated living entity. Krishna is Vishnu, and Vishnu is Krishna, and Krishna is Paramatma, and so on. This is also discussed by Jiva Goswami at length when he talks on how Krishna takes on different forms. It's the same Krishna by his yoga maya energy takes on a different form, and that is also Krishna. It's a little different. It's a very nice point of Krishna Sandharva, and there he explains it. Good, we have already transgressed our time limit. It is a little late. So thank you very much for your kind attention. Hare Krishna. Sorry.